Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report, where that number one seed looks pretty good in hindsight. I am Tyler Hayward. Red Cedar Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Red Cedar Report to listen to our past shows. The past shows, typically a little happier mood than today's, because today on the show we have iSportsWeb contributor Mike Sterner with me as we're going to talk about the offseason, a few big questions facing the Spartans. Ryan McCumber may or may not come on. I don't know if he's still crying into his pillow, but me and Mike got over it, so we're going to talk about one of the biggest, most unfortunate upsets in tournament history. Mike, thanks for coming on, given the circumstances.
It's really that was all the March Madness most Michigan State fans could handle in one game. That was really it. And it's a shame too, because this is, if you've watched this tournament closely, been one of the more thrilling tournaments that I've ever seen. And to see that Spartans are no longer part of that, it makes it a little bit harder to watch it. Not even a little bit. It's quite a lot more difficult to watch it.
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, you're right. It is one of the most exciting tournaments. You look at Texas A&M's comeback last night. What Buddy Hield did in the second half yesterday was absolutely phenomenal. But, yeah, it is tough. It's a tough pill to swallow right now because, man, that Saturday I didn't even watch a single game. I think the only basketball I watched was Golden State versus San Antonio. And you know what? Even Draymond Green lost. So it just put a cherry on the crap Sunday that was my weekend as far as basketball goes. It wasn't a good weekend. And I think that's the thing is, like, part of the reason why typically I live and die by Michigan State basketball and football. This time around, I didn't really have the same, I don't want to say breakdown, but I'll just use it because I can't think of anything else right now, same breakdown that I normally have, because part of it, I'm thinking, I'm still in shock. The other part, though, is I don't feel like there's too much shame to feel or whatever, given the fact that Middle Tennessee State played their butts off to win that game.
Yes, they did. If you ask me, I think that Middle Tennessee State would maybe beat Michigan State 2 times out of 100, and that was one of those 2 times, and They, you know, a lot of people say that MSU played their worst game. I actually disagree with that take, because if MSU played their worst game, then I don't think you see a career game from Matt Costello. And despite the 6 turnovers, Denzel Valentine did put up some okay numbers. It's not his typical numbers, but he put up some okay numbers. It was the team really coming together for Middle Tennessee State and really maximizing what they could do. They did out-tough the Spartans, and that's true too. It was a below-average game for Michigan State, to be sure, but I don't think it was their worst game. It was just Middle Tennessee State playing in their national championship of sorts to knock out a team that was playing for an actual national championship.
Right, and you saw that too. Middle Tennessee was just, right, they got every loose ball, even the, like, 50-50 balls, if you want to call them that. Even the 50-50 balls, they just seem to take a natural bounce at the end of the game towards Middle Tennessee State. You know, everyone says, oh, well, they got all the bounces, they got all the rolls. It looked like they were actually getting, you know, loose balls that should have ended up in the hands of one of Michigan State's players. And they, for a while, they were out-rebounding Michigan State. They were hitting just shot after shot. Early on, obviously, Michigan State kind of had their troubles regarding their defense, but I think they corrected it. They corrected it well before the 17-2 opening run was finished. And so I think that, it was just something where, yeah, you need to be a little lucky. Middle Tennessee, based upon how they performed against Syracuse, against Michigan State, they were a lot lucky.
I mean, there's things that certainly went their way. And I give them credit because they executed and they played their best. And really, what I would say really killed the Spartans is the fact that they started behind, you know, they started behind really with these teams like Middle Tennessee State, you know, any really team that's 13 and above, if you can go on an early run and really, you know, put your foot on their throat early on, you can really just make it an insurmountable lead that they can't come back from. But with this situation, Middle Tennessee State had the lead the entire game, and then, you know, at halftime, by the time halftime rolled around, you could see that they were confident that they could win this game. And once a team like this is confident, then they're going to start to play their best game. You know, they're going to continue to play their best game. They want to win. You know, this is for Middle Tennessee State, even though they, you know, got blown out by Syracuse yesterday. This is a memorable season for them because they took out a team that could have won a national championship. This is something those players will be able to tell their kids and grandkids for the rest of their lives. And they'll be reminded of it every single year. This loss will not go away. It's arguably the biggest upset in tournament history, and you can argue about that, but it's certainly up there. There's no question about it. So you're going to see Michigan State on a graphic every single year for teams like Middle Tennessee State that are in the 14-15 range to say, we can beat this team. It's happened before. Michigan State will always be on that list now, the 2016 Spartans.
Well, I mean, not that this is supposed to make anybody feel better, but Coach K is also on that list. Jim Boeheim,
yep,
also on that list. So this type of stuff happens. It just doesn't happen a lot. So when it does, it is a big deal. And ultimately, I don't think this will have any long-term repercussions regarding Michigan State. No, Tom Izzo is still Tom Izzo. He's got his best recruiting class coming in. He's got... He could potentially make it a little bit better come the end of the month. And so this could not be, like, all for a loss. I just think that even just the little things, you know, all season long, I've kind of felt like, well, I talked to Ryan about this. Michigan State had some bad starts against Rutgers, Penn State, Ohio State at the end of the year. And ultimately, I thought that this could bite them against Middle Tennessee because they were overlooking their competition, and it did. That was evidenced by the hot start. But I felt all season long that this was a team that they were probably the most fundamentally sound Michigan State team, and at the end, they were just making mistake after basic mistake after basic mistake. Valentine, you talked about 6 turnovers. Some of them were really bad. Aaron Harris, he hit a couple big threes, but he continued to make the fundamental mistakes that he's been making all year. Deontay Davis, he didn't play well. The one thing that I think I've kind of got a question about is why Javon Best came out there. And this isn't going to be a shot at him. Marvin Clark's played extremely well as of late. Why he didn't see any time in the second half?
Yeah, that was very surprising. I actually didn't take much notice of that because I was just frustrated with the team played. But I agree with that. I would have rather had Clark out there. I mean, Javon Best has really not contributed to the level he could have this season, and Marvin Clark of late has done some things for this team. And he brings a shooting presence when he comes out on the floor every time. So when you're playing from behind, you'd think that'd be helpful, but I really don't know. It's a little bit confusing. It wasn't really anybody's best game when you talk about Michigan State. Even the coaching staff, it wasn't their best game, and they'll openly admit to that. Izzo will be very upfront and honest about that. But it's really, you know, it was the perfect storm for the Blue Raiders, and that they'll remember that win for the rest of you know, the history of that program, just as Michigan State fans will every single time they get a one or two or three seed, especially.
Yeah, and that's going to be the one thing that does end up sticking from this game. I mean, Middle Tennessee State, Conference USA Championship, followed it up with a win over a program like Michigan State. Yeah, they kind of laid an egg against Syracuse, but I mean, it was big enough. It was big enough. It was big enough to put Appalachian State on the map when they beat Michigan. It's big enough to beat the Big Ten champs. And, I mean, this is going to be something that it might not work out so well for Middle Tennessee State, as now teams are going to look out for them in the tournament should they end up a 14 or 13 seed, whatever it is that they end up doing coming up in the future. One thing I do want to talk about is Tom Izzo, once again, he's under fire. And it's not under fire from the administration or from other beat writers, but it's under fire from pretty much people who have a voice, which nowadays, with social media the way that it is everybody, even though some people don't really deserve to have it. I'm going to put these people in that category, and I'm sorry if you're listening that you feel that showing Tom Izzo the door or no longer expecting a championship is okay. If you think that type of thing is okay, I'm sorry. You don't deserve to talk about it because you clearly do not understand what is going on with the situation. I kind of want to get your thoughts, Mike, regarding the people who feel that, hey, maybe Tom Izzo's lost a step.
I think they're honestly entitled. I think they're a little bit crazy because, you know, people even going to the point saying he should retire. I mean, it's like they forgot what happened last year when he took a team that shouldn't have gone to a Final Four to a Final Four, you know? And then he's been to seven Final Fours since 1995-96 season when he started at Michigan State as a head coach, and that's two more than any other coach. He has a national championship here. He's did this over and over again throughout his entire career. It wasn't just a stretch of a few years where he was doing this. It's crazy, you know. I honestly think if you think that Tom Izzo should retire right now, then you probably should retire yourself, because that kind of delusional thinking is not good for the workforce. Let's just face it. And people are really not thinking this through. It's all emotions when they say stuff like this. You have to respect what Tom Izzo has done. And like you said, even if you don't want to, if you want to completely bash him for this loss, whatever, then you got to also bash the Coach K's of the world. You got to bash the Jim Boeheim's of the world too, because these are the same guys that also lost these kind of games at some point. It doesn't take away from the success they've had. It's going to happen. It's gonna happen, and we need to accept that. And it's entitlement that is what's causing this, and you know, and emotions too. People get so fired up right after the game. They don't think about things. They don't think things through. And you say things that you may not even really believe when you're under those circumstances.
Yeah, there's a quicker knee-jerk reaction than if you were watching Del Monroe's career. And so I just don't – I'm completely baffled by the idiocy of it all. It is what it is. You know, people are – you said it, they are entitled to their opinions, but that means I'm entitled to mine. And
absolutely,
if you're coming out there and you are saying stuff like, hey, Tom Izzo might need to, you know, take a second to rethink this. I mean, even though he does have his best recruiting class ever coming in next year, just because of one bad loss, then, you know what? My opinion that I'm entitled to, I don't want to be, I mean, I'm not trying to be too blunt about it. And part of it is radio censorship, whatever, is slightly preventing me from expressing my true feelings towards it all. But the bottom line is you're going to have these clowns who come out here and they're going to say, oh, Tom Izzo should retire. And if you say, and if you bring up, you brought up Coach K. Oh, well, Coach K has won more championships. You brought up Jim Boeheim. Guess what? Boeheim hasn't. Guess what? Boeheim has been to less Final Fours in twice as many years. Last Final
yep.
Fours in twice as many years. The only reason Jim Boeheim is listed among the elite coaches is because of longevity. I cannot think of another coach other than Calipari and Coach K that you would have
yep.
come in and try to replace Tom Izzo.
Yep.
Just because he's been one game away, what, three times, from winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he can't get it done. That's garbage. If Kalen Lucas doesn't rupture his Achilles, championship. Brandon Dawson,
yep.
he doesn't get hurt as a freshman when he was just playing a role and not a natural star on the team. He was playing an important role. He was playing sparingly, so some of those mistakes that Aaron Harris has made this past year, that Brandon Dawson was making his senior year, they weren't as noticeable. Guess what? You probably have a third championship. You said it at the beginning of the show. It is luck. It takes luck to be completely healthy. And it takes luck for a shot going. If Tom Izzo has completely healthy squads, he's got three championships. Very least two. The Kalen Lucas
yeah.
one is the only one that is guaranteed, I think, if he doesn't rupture his Achilles. He's got two championships. He goes to the Final Four with... And with all due respect to last year's team, the worst team he has ever had. The worst team he has had since he started. Until he started bringing in the Mateen Cleaves, Morris Peterson, and Antonio Smith. That was the worst team he's had, and he took them to a Final Four. And because one team gets on a hot streak at the beginning of the game, you want to write off Tom Izzo. It's asinine.
Yes, it is.
Is
yes, it is.
Foolishness.
It
and
is.
I think
it
that
really
one of the things, one of the big things that people are taking away from this, the lack of minutes by Deontay Davis, and I mean, we can go ahead and we can address that too, try to cool down a little bit. I'm fired up, Mike. Are you fired up? It's going to be a great day.
Yeah, there's a lot to be fired up about, especially when you add in the fact that you really you have these people that are just going crazy and becoming entitled. But these are also the same people that wanted to call for Mark D'Antonio's head in the Rose Bowl season when the offense couldn't find anything in the first few games of that season. So I really don't put much into what they're saying. I just say, well, like you said, it's an opinion, you're entitled to it, but you know what? I don't think your opinion makes that much sense. So I'm not really going to listen to it. I'm going to laugh about it and maybe rant about it a little bit.
Yeah. And if for whatever reason that opinion or those opinions that Izzo may need to be shown the door, or that you're done expecting, or at the very least, you're done expecting championships from him, I'll have what you're having. Because that sounds like one heck of a Friday night. But let's get on the Deontay Davis situation. Only played 3 minutes in the second half. A lot of people having a hard time understanding, oh, well, he's the most talented player that Michigan State has, with the exception of Valentine. That is true. But at the same time, and I'll let you go first. I want to get your thoughts on, and I'll tell you what I think about the lack of minutes. Do you support Izzo's decision more or less? I know you just went to bat for him, so I know you support Izzo, but do you support his decision not to play Davis?
I mean, I would have liked to see Deontay a little bit more, but I also am not gonna question him. We've had this conversation, I feel like, over and over and over again, to where, why is Davis not playing as much? Because as much as, you know, everyone else, because he's been, you know, he's not gotten a ton of minutes per game. But I'm not going to question Tom Izzo on that. He knows his guy better than I do. I think he could have played a little bit more, and I'm sure Izzo would even admit to that. But at the same time, Deontay Davis's lack of playing in the second half is not the reason why Michigan State lost this game. The reason why they lost this game is, like, as we addressed several times, Michigan State did not play their best game, and Middle Tennessee played one of the best games of anybody in the tournament. That is why they lost this game. It's not because Deontay Davis was not there. It's a little bit, you know, you would have liked to see him a little bit more, but we're just nitpicking at this point if we're going to pick out and choose, you know, this is the reason why we lost. We lost because of a lot of different things, and that may have had a little bit of a factor, but it was not a big deal. I'm not going to question Izzo.
Now I'm going to go back to part of what we talked about earlier regarding Javon Best seeing the floor. Ultimately, I would like to see Davis over Best because he does present a little bit more as far as a down-low presence. You know, Matt Costello had his way down low against the Blue Raiders. And so to see Davis out there a little bit more, I mean, yeah, I'll take it in that regard. But if Marvin Clark was out there, I mean, I think Davis played the right amount of minutes. Yeah, he had 10 points in 15 minutes. He was doing really well on offense, but at the same time, we've said this. I know you were on post-Wisconsin. We were talking about Nigel Hayes and how Deontay Davis did such a great job on him. Since then, I mean, I thought he was destined for the NBA, but because everybody in the NBA, every four, can at least shoot from 17 feet out. Guys like the Morris twins, Ilyasova, you know, those types of players, Draymond Green, they can all step outside. And Davis just, he's not comfortable guarding around the perimeter. He is.
Nope.
And when you're matching them up against Reggie Upshaw, who is having his way with the freshman, then, yeah, you've got to pull him because here's the thing about Izzo, and I've always agreed with this, is offensive points, you know, like Aaron Harris 3, does not excuse you from lazy defense and rookie mistakes. And that's why you didn't see Aaron Harris in the first half. Aaron Harris came out firing. He had a couple big threes to keep Michigan State in the game late. But it's that type of thing, something that I always grew up with from my old high school coach was, I will take my worst guy at 100% than my best guy at 99%.
Yeah.
And Deontay Davis, a couple of times, he has the height, he has the athleticism, he had the position against Middle Tennessee State. And he came down with 3 rebounds. He was getting outworked for every rebound. He was getting beat by Upshaw defensively. Between those two, yeah, you sacrifice a couple points because you can still go inside to Costello. You're still getting your points on the inside. It's just all coming from one person as opposed to two. Agree with it. I agree with it. Deontay Davis, he showed that he wasn't ready guarding the perimeter and everything else. And it made things a little more difficult for Michigan State as far as that goes. Kind of running low on time. I was hoping to try to get to next year, but we might have to wait until the next show, if you will. Well, another topic we want to talk about, another thing that I think this may have gotten you fired up as well. A lot of people are saying Denzel Valentine hurt his legacy.
Yeah, I would say that to some level it's not – so here's how I like to see it. I think a legacy is something that's not really complete until your career is over. Denzel Valentine's career when Friday started was not over. So if we're going to say Denzel Valentine, I don't know if it's that he hurt his legacy. I don't think it did damage to the things he already did do. I think that's crazy to make that argument. I think he didn't reach what his legacy could have been. I think that's what the better argument is. Of course, if he wins a national championship or even takes this team to a Final Four, he's got, you know, a lot better legacy. Not a lot better, but it's going to be better legacy than it is now. But I don't think you can take away the fact that he did contribute to the Final Four last year. I don't think you can take away from the fact that he's contributed to the Big Ten tournament championships that Michigan State has gotten in his career. I don't think you can take away from the fact that he was a triple-double threat every time he came on the floor this year. If you take away those things, then you're just being unfair.
Right, and I think part of it is a lot of people were throwing him up there with Magic Johnson. And the only way you compete with a guy like Magic, other than the insane numbers that Valentine put up throughout the course of this year, was if you win a national championship. And that's the thing. I feel like right now he's kind of he's right below Draymond Green as far as, you know, who left the best legacy at Michigan State. Ultimately, Magic Johnson's right up there. Mateen Cleaves is up there. And I was talking to you before the show, you could throw in guys like Charlie Bell, Morris Peterson, Jay Vincent, Greg Kelster, guys who played key roles in those championships. Because they all ended up being superstars. They all ended up being superstars, and they all should at least be up in the rafters. Mark Hollis, if you're listening, Charlie Bell, number 14 up there, thanks. but Draymond Green, his number should be up in the rafter, but at the same time, he didn't win the championship, and so as far as like overall legacies are concerned, you know, I'm putting him below those guys. I'm putting him behind Jay and Charlie, arguably, you know, the Alfreds to Magic and Greg's Batman and Robin and Mateen and Mopee. You know, they're the third wheel.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the championship is what cements the ultimate legacy. Valentine didn't get it. Overall, his career number's still a little lower than Draymond's. Played less of a key role in the Final Fours. Not to say that his role last year was irrelevant. It wasn't. It was huge. So he was co-MVP last year with Tristan Dawson. So I feel like you're right. I mean, there could have been a lot more to the legacy. He could have been there with Magic and Mateen as the leaders of a championship team. But this just leaves him a little lower. And if you're going to say it erased everything that he did over the last 4 years, same with the Izzo bashers. I mean, you know, there's the door to the bandwagon. Feel free to hop off.
Yeah, that's really where it is. People really need to start. We talked about before, you need to have a middle ground with your thinking. It can't be so extreme on one side or the other side. I mean, that would be like, you know, you can't, the other extreme would be you can't completely say that Denzel is completely absolved from everything because of this. He's not,
right.
But it's just like with Izzo. It's not going to remove from his resume that he lost to a 15 seed, but it also shouldn't completely get rid of everything he's done at Michigan State. Same thing with Valentine. We got to have middle of the road thinking because that's common sense thinking. And a lot of people don't use that these days, it seems.
Well, really quick, let's just close on this. It could still end up being a pretty decent month for Michigan State. Tom Izzo, I mean, he's a finalist for the Hall of Fame. He could be in there during Final Four weekend. Denzel Valentine could still win Player of the Year. I think his odds flipped a little bit with Buddy Hield second half yesterday, but he could still do that. And let's not forget, I mean, Michigan State's one shining moment this year could be when Josh Jackson, he puts the pen to the paper and he commits to Michigan State. So there's still a lot to look forward to. You know, we'll talk about that as we go along on the show. But that does it for us during this basketball season. We'll continue to offer up our opinions as we approach the draft, talk about any news that come down the wire here. For Mike Sterner, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.